School District Board of Education at 7 o'clock. Mr. Noel, could you lead us in the invocation?
Sure will. Bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to serve this great district of Marlington. Just now, Lord, I lift up our friend and colleague, Mrs. Sutton. Is she dealing with a loss in her family? I also lift up all of our folks here in the district and the area, Lord, that are dealing with illness and sickness during this time. Lord, we just ask you to put your hand, grace, passion, and healing upon them. Bless our time together. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Can we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The reading of the mission statement will be by Mr. Hagan.
In collaboration with staff, community, parents, and students, the Marlington Local School District will develop lifelong learners who understand and apply knowledge and demonstrate excellence in pursuing the highest standards with effective intervention to challenge every student.
Thank you. Mrs. Brueger, could you call the roll, please?
This meeting is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and not to be considered a public community meeting. There is a time for our public participation during the meeting as indicated in the agenda item 4. Mrs. Gaylord.
Here.
Mr. Hagan.
Here.
Mrs. Humphrey.
Here.
Dr. Mason.
Here.
Mrs. Stevens.
Here.
Adoption of the meeting agenda. Are there any additions or corrections?
I'd like to make a couple additions. I'd like to add to section 5 or 6B during the board discussion that action may be taken. And also, I'd like to have discussion regarding the building tours at the next meeting, starting at the next meeting.
In the boardmanship book from the OSBA, suggested guidelines for a board say that surprises should be avoided by providing the superintendent and other board members with advance notice on items members wish to discuss that are not on the agenda. We keep seeing these items pop up, which is not good boardsmanship, and I appreciate if that doesn't happen. If we want to do that maybe the next meeting, that's fine if we can have notice of it. I think that we need to stick with our agenda. People don't have 5 hours every other Thursday to come and sit at a meeting.
Karen, are you asking for that your discussion to be added to the agenda? And where would you like that added?
I'm addressing his addition. I don't have to do that.
Like I said, I'd like the part for the action to be taken added to the discussion, the section 6B.
So boardsmanship doesn't matter, apparently.
Not that boardsmanship doesn't matter.
Good to know.
That's not the reason.
So okay.
And I'm like,
just certain things aren't on the agenda that need to be on the agenda.
It could have been added prior. You could add it prior.
Okay.
And I would like to add that discussion action may follow executive session on matters that may be discussed during executive session. Are there any other additions or corrections? Mrs. Brueger, could you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Gaylord?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 3-2.
Public participation. We have two people listed that have signed up. Mr. Ritchie. And the people that have signed up have 10 minutes to speak.
Ready? Watch the corporate.
Good morning.
Mike Morgan.
That's an open letter to our new board members. Dear new board members, first of all, I would like to congratulate you on your newly elected position to the Board of Education of the Marlington Local School District. As a taxpayer with family teaching in the district and children attending three of the buildings, I would like to take this time to share with you some thoughts. Marlington Local School District mission statement. In collaboration with staff, community, parents, and students, the Marlington Local School District will develop lifelong learners who understand and apply knowledge and demonstrate excellence in pursuing the highest standards, both personal and academic. It is my sincere hope that the above mission statement was the sole reason for you pursuing this new position, as opposed to an ulterior motive that stands as an obstacle to that end. There's no room for error regarding the education of our students. If their best interests are not foremost in your intentions, then you will not only fail to uphold our mission statement, but you will also fail in your commitment to each one of the students and staff in our school district. Our school district has a long and proud tradition. What has kept that intact is not we, the voters. Rather, it is the students and staff. It has taken their commitment, dedication, and hard work to keep Marlington the great school system that it is. There has to be a reason for this commitment, and it is certainly not the voters, for they are not the ones in the buildings every day working for less money and in substandard conditions trying to educate our young people. It is called dedication, and our teachers and staff know they have only one chance to teach these young students. They are the ones with their thumbs on the pulse of our district and should be trusted and supported. If working with our teachers, administrators, and staff in their endeavor to reach as many students as they possibly can is not your number one list, number one on your list of things that you want to accomplish as a new board member, then you will fail to keep your pledge to develop lifelong learners who understand and apply knowledge and demonstrate excellence in pursuing the highest standards, both personal and academic. Change is not always for the best, and most of the time it is difficult. Please give careful thought to your reason behind any change you may be entertaining. I hope and pray they will be made with the best interest of the Marlington Local School District students and staff in mind, and not trying to satisfy your own or someone else's personal agenda. Sincerely, Bob Reese.
Mrs. Menegay?
Recap is needed for those in the room who are unsure how we got here tonight. 2018, another bond failed at election time. Our board majority voted to consolidate elementary schools due to drop in enrollment and cost savings. Marlboro Elementary was a school closing, and there was a slight redistricting, and with the help of many amazing staff, moves were made to be ready for the 2019-2020 school year. Fast forward to fall. School year starts, to a few hiccups, but overall, what a fantastic transition. Again, because we have an amazing group of teachers, staff, and parents who went into this year with an open mind and an open heart. November of 2019, a new board is elected, on the premise that they are giving Marlington back to the voters. Also in November, Mr. Knoll presents converting the Marlboro Building into a career tech school. We had a pretty quiet December, then in January 13, 2020 rolls around, which was the first organizational board meeting with the new majority. At this meeting, it was mentioned that the board was looking into facts and data regarding opening Marlboro. Upon hearing this, I personally emailed the board members to better understand. My email is as follows. At the January 13th Board of Education meeting, it was mentioned looking into gathering more facts and data regarding opening the building in Marlboro. In researching and gathering to make decisions, are you looking for data and facts to open Marlboro as an elementary school? Are you looking at opening the building as a career tech? Are you gathering facts and data for all possibilities available to open Marlboro? Do you have a deadline for gathering all this information to make an informed decision? How will you make your final decision? Will there be a survey to make sure all community members have a voice in the matter? Will you take this decision to the polls so it will be the district voters to decide? Will you form a committee group to help aid in your decision? Will you talk with parents this decision could be affecting if opening as an elementary? Will you talk with teachers, staff, support staff of the district? As a Marlington community member, district voter, and as a business owner in the trades field and in Marlboro, how you handle this decision of this building is very important to me on all levels stated previously. I look forward to hearing from you. I first want to say thank you to the four board members that took the moment to reply to my questions. Mr. Hagan, though I don't feel we're going to agree on what's best for Marlington, I do appreciate your frankness and honesty. That you were looking for information to open Marlboro as an elementary school, and that you do not see yourself communicating with the Marlington staff as you feel the current board policy impedes on your right for open communication with said staff. But all in all, I find that very unfortunate to hear, because as a board member, you had a chance to change that language and you didn't. Ms. Gabrick, I was truly surprised from all the board members to see such a vague response from you. After listening to you board meeting after board meeting and hearing how you had a plan to open Marlboro as an elementary school should really be left to the voters, I really thought you would be more transparent with your response. As the longest standing board member, you know better than anyone, when you choose not to be transparent, it can lead to ethic violations or, as you like to point out, illegal activity. Ms. Stevens, oh wait, you chose to ignore my email. You did not respond. And why is that? I mean, after the 2018 election, you signed up month after month for public participation. Every time you spoke, I remember you saying that the board was not listening to the 3,000 plus voters. What was that exact number again? You would think I would remember. I don't, but I know it's over 3,000. I do distinctly remember your election motto, giving Marlington back to the voters. But yet your first chance to show that you were gonna listen to voters and bring transparency back, what did you do? You did nothing. I am very curious as to which voter are you giving Marlington back to. I would like to preface next that I am not in favor of opening the building in Marlboro. Our elementary enrollment is declining. We are expected to have new enrollment classes around 120 students or less for the next 5 to 7 years. To give perspective, the largest class at Marlington right now is 8th grade, and they have 161 students. Besides the enrollment, I don't think it's safe conditions. I do not feel it is in the best interest financially to open. The repairs needed more than outweigh the costs needed to do so. Can we really afford the millions that are going to be needed in levies for repairs? I feel it would be a bad practice to only repair Marlboro when Washington and Lexington are in just as major need. I realize my opinion is just one, as we have a board majority that would like to open up Marlboro as an elementary school, and we have an administration that is looking to convert the building to a career tech school. And looking at these two options, I took it upon myself to reach out to U.S. Congressman Tim Ryan, State Representative Ken Shearing, and State Representative Reggie Solis. I asked all of them their thoughts on our areas for schools, funding, and their thoughts and information in respect to career tech programs. I was very fortunate to have all of them respond back to me with all the information that I was looking for. In the state of Ohio, there are over 120,000 career tech students, which accounts for 22% of all 9th through 12th grade students here in Ohio. Ohio career tech education works hand in hand with Ohio Mean Jobs. That is to assure job placements. Since Mr. Knoll is interested in opening programs for HVAC and down the road medical coding and small engine repair, I chose to dial in on those options for my information. HVAC, as an apprentice, Ohio is expecting a 28.9% growth in need for new workers. They are expecting over 425 new jobs annually. The median salary for an HVAC apprentice is $28,000. HVAC mechanic. Ohio is also expecting a 28.9% growth in need for new workers. They are expecting over 440 new jobs annually. The median salary for an HVAC mechanic is $43,000. HVAC superintendent is expecting a 1% growth and 830 new jobs annually. The median salary for an HVAC superintendent is $90,000. Let's take a look at medical coding. Coding specialist. Ohio is expecting a 31% job growth and 1,600 new jobs available annually. The median salary is $29,000 a year. Medical records technologist. Ohio is expecting a 14.6% job growth and 250 new jobs available annually. The median salary is $33,500 a year. These are just two examples, and as you can see, Ohio has a need. If Marlington should open Marlboro as a career tech, we would be able to provide schooling for our district students and surrounding area students. They will learn a valuable trade, prepare for a future, and give back to our area. Down the road, we would be able to open up adult education programs. Marlboro Township would have a new identity to hang their hats on. The township would be a part of something huge. We could partner with area businesses. A wonderful example and partnership is between Mack Trailer and the Alliance Welding Program. Mack Trailer offers a student of the month program, mentorships, and job opportunities when those students graduate. Now, I know what you're thinking, what about the money? It's all about the money. I get it. I agree, there is a cost to making this building career tech ready. According to local architects, converting the area in consideration would cost approximately $500,000. Yes, there are going to be some other costs down the road to renovate the building and make sure it's safe in all areas. Depending on who you choose to listen to, the cost may vary by millions. Just ask a few local building experts and civil engineers. The question is, will this cost be justified as we will be providing career opportunities for the future? But please don't fool yourself into thinking there's no cost to opening Marlboro as an elementary school. First off, we need to hire. Expired positions will need to be filled. Inspections, cleaning of the building, replacing equipment that has found a new home, and let's not forget the cost to move everything over. What will that cost be? I don't know. You better know those prices before you make your decision. And let's not forget those easily fixed repairs. Just as you would choose to make Marlboro a career tech building, the same repair cost would be needed if you open it at an elementary school. If you should choose, after weighing everything, to open Marlboro as an elementary building, I wonder, after you create the new expense to open again, after you choose not to listen to the parents who want to keep things as they are now with the two elementary schools, after you choose not to listen to the staff of the elementary school and district as a whole, after you pay millions of dollars to repair the Marlboro building, but run out of money for the other schools, after you realize that enrollment is decreasing or stagnant at best, after you realize you are in a financial hardship and the district voters will not vote for new monies, and after you realize the costly mistakes you've made to our district, I have one question for you. Which elementary school will you now choose to close? Lexington or Washington? Thank you.
Okay, next up, Ms. Erica Lukens-Yoder. Everybody has 3 minutes that signed up tonight.
Good evening. Let me begin by saying that being up here speaking is pushing me very far out of my comfort zone, but I felt God calling me to do so for the past couple of months and knew it was time. I know that there will be people in here who disagree with what I'm going to say, but I believe we're all entitled to have our opinions, and I also believe that we don't have to hate someone just because their opinion differs from ours. That's what I'm counting on tonight, that you will show grace in allowing me to share my thoughts. My name is Erica Lukens-Yoder, and I'm the technology support person at Lexington this year. Prior to this year, I spent 11 years in the same capacity at Marlboro. My husband and I, our daughter, our siblings, and my parents all attended Marlboro, with my dad graduating from Marlboro High School and my mom being the first class to graduate from Marlington High School in 1961. I have lived within a mile and a half radius in Marlboro Township my entire life. So to say that I understand the history of Marlboro Elementary is an understatement. When I first heard that Marlboro was closing, I was very upset and angry, and I don't anger easily. However, after the January 2018 board meeting, when Mr. Noel gave his presentation showing the decline in enrollment over the last several decades, I understood why it was closing. I still stressed about the uncertainty of the future, but I made peace with the fact that it was happening. Fast forward to the beginning of this school year. I didn't know what to expect with moving Marlboro staff and students into the two other buildings, but let me tell you, the reality absolutely exceeded my expectations. The Lexington staff and students were so welcoming from the very start. I remember walking down the halls the very first week of school, marveling at the former Marlboro students laughing and joking with the Lexington students like they've known each other forever. These kids are all absolutely amazing, and I am in awe of their ability to adapt. It has been wonderful to see teachers able to collaborate on a daily basis instead of three or four times a year at waiver days and pullouts. We have fantastic teachers across this district, and to see them be able to all use their different strengths to come together and make the teaching team stronger is a sight to behold. The bottom line in all of this is that public school enrollment numbers are going down almost everywhere, not just at Marlington. It seems like once a month you hear of another school district in Ohio that is closing a building, the most recent locally being Ravenna and West Branch. I applaud the fact that the administration and board made the tough decision to consolidate when they did, before the district started bleeding money, as so many districts are doing. The fact is that between parents choosing to homeschool their kids, send their kids to private school, or pay the tuition to open and enroll their kids in districts with newer facilities, our numbers will continue to decline, and I certainly can't fault those parents. All I ask is that you please look at what has been accomplished this year and consider the opinions of staff members and the parents of the students who are affected. At the end of the day, most of us who go into education do so because we love working with kids and we want to make a better future for them. My sincere prayer is that everyone here is here because they want these kids to have the best education possible. And I firmly believe that that is not going to happen by reopening Marlboro as an elementary school. Thank you.
Linda Freeman, please.
Okay. Congratulations on your. Okay, my name is Linda Freeman, a little nervous, a resident of Marlington, a taxpayer, and a voter. I'm very concerned about your decision to reopen Marlboro. My question is why. The reason it was closed was due to low enrollment. Our enrollment has been declining for several years. If you look around at our surrounding districts, do we really want to be where they are in a couple of years? Marlington has had to ask for new money, since 2005. What is the cost of reopening a school that has been closed a year, plus doing the necessary repairs to the two elementaries that are already open, and by the way, are doing great? What is the real reason of uprooting these children again and reopening a school that isn't necessary? I urge you to do the right thing. Talk to the children, the parents, the staff, and all the voters. You were put on the board to work for this school, the parents, the community, the staff, and be fiscally responsible. Thank you.
I've got David over on St. Peter's. Is it Bowen?
You can?
You're up? How about that? You knew it was coming, didn't you?
David Buchanan, I'm a resident. I honestly have no dog in this fight other than I have two little kids and I had no idea of any information. you know, until recently I've decided to get involved. And I am ashamed of this board and this action that has happened tonight, this public meeting. The motions were improperly followed. The discussion was improperly followed by a second board member. There was never a second to that motion. Two people got up here and addressed the board without following your own rules. They directly attacked board members and everything. And if everyone wants to actually get together and take care of the students, maybe we should educate all of us and do this properly and follow procedures. I wasn't really going to talk about that, but just after the last 10 minutes of being here, this is embarrassing for the community that the Board of Education allowed that to happen, and that all of you just think it's a big cheer party. And I just have two little kids that I want to figure out what elementary school they're even going to go to and how this is all going to work. I'm trying to get information, and this desire to just hate each other is unbelievable. And I don't know how that could be good for any of these kids. And I just hope that in the future the board would follow proper Ohio public meeting procedures by both making motions, seconding them, and board members having a discussion following the second, not issuing their complaints before they can even get a second motion. If they're going to complain about how the board's run, they should probably follow the proper procedures to do so. It's my only thought, but I really just hope I continue to be here weekly to try to, or bi-weekly, to try to learn more information, find out what's going on.
Thank you.
You want to do that right now?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to back up momentarily and correct a mistake, and thank you for pointing that out, that we did not properly accept a motion to adopt the agenda as corrected. So accept a motion at this time.
Second.
The first.
First, yeah. Josh, the first.
Yep.
And a second. And is there any further discussion on the agenda? Do you need the roll call agenda? Would you like the roll call agenda?
Okay. Sure. Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Hagan? Dr. Mason.
No.
Mrs. Davis.
Yes.
Motion for
degree. Okay, Miss Mary Sherman.
Mary Sherman, Marlborough Township. Last month, board members were encouraged to do what is best for students rather than to listen to voters, as if those are two separate actions. I urge the board to consider this. Your voters consist of many of the people who care most about Marlington students, people who know them best, people who love them. With all due respect, you will never know what is best for the children more than their parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. Those people have spoken to you loudly and clearly on several occasions at the voting booth. You have no idea what conversations go on at home with the people our students trust the most. Sure, children are fairly resilient and perhaps adjust to what is dealt to them more easily than we as adults do. But a child conceding that they don't have a choice in what school building they attend shouldn't be mistaken for satisfaction with the change. On the outside, it can easily appear to staff members that everything is working well and going great. But the people who know the students best apparently think differently, because they largely selected a new board majority, which has expressed the willingness to try to restore things to the way they were. And for those of you who think this election was just about Marlborough Township voters, you would be wrong. Go to the Board of Elections website and download the election results by precinct. The new board won Marlborough, Washington, and Lexington Township. Please don't view the voters as a separate entity from the family and friends who are closest to Marlington students. Please don't hold the mindset that it is solely the responsible of the five of you or the administration to determine what is best for students. Don't sell community members short by assuming that we aren't capable of choosing what is best for our children. And when we communicate what we feel is best, which we did most recently on November 5th of last year, let that be your measuring stick. So as one of the majority of voters in the Marlington School District who helped win this election, I urge this board to reopen Mulgrew Elementary for the September 2020 school year. There are clearly no major structural issues. Otherwise, the church basketball team wouldn't be practicing in there. And please, don't go there with enrollment. We know enrollment fluctuates every 2 to 3 years. And since Marlington refused a request in May 2019 for copies of all open enrollment applications for elementary age students for the last 4 years, we don't know if students were turned away so enrollment appeared to decline. Maybe now we can get an answer to that question too. As a final note, in response to the suggestions which you've received from community and staff members, that moving the children again would be detrimental to them, I must point out that the plan of the former board majority also involved moving the children again. I'd ask you to consider whether those same community and staff members would oppose that move as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jackie Scott.
My name is Jackie Scott, and I live in Marlboro. My grandkids went to Marlboro. I want to stay here and be happy and have the kids in our area happy. I just have a short paragraph to read, and it's from the internet. And I wanted to know what made a school board a competent school board. And this is what I read. A good school board member has good analytical leadership and collaborative skills in order to move the district forward. He or she does not have a single focus, but rather is interested in the success of all students in the district. That's it. Thank you.
Do you have any old business? New business? Superintendent report, Mr. Mill.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with the board and our community about a couple items tonight. If you've been coming to board meetings, and many of you have for the last couple years, you've heard me talk a lot about mental health and wellness and what we've been doing as a district to try to help our kids, staff members, all of us in this area. It's been the hardening versus hardening. You've heard me talk about the hardening part, SROs, right? Cameras, safety glass, all those things that we've been doing. Some of them are listed up there.
Is it possible to adjust the lights so that it's lighting more?
Let me see. Better?
That's a lot better.
Awesome. Hardening and then the heartening piece. Okay, what are we doing around the district to make connections with kids? I'm a firm believer that we got to keep pressing on in that arena. And in my personal opinion, if we're going to win the battle with mental health and wellness, it's going to be that battle right there, making connections. It's going to be the heartening piece. What I want to talk to you tonight is about some of the other initiatives that we're incorporating here in the near future. Stark Mar got a grant from the state of Ohio. There's about $18 million all in across the state. The goal is to empower local communities with our efforts to help build resiliency and reduce risk factors. Marlington has applied to be a part of that grant. It's a one-time shot. Money's coming in across Stark County. We're at about $559,000. So how much money Marlington gets depends on how many Stark County schools get in. If that makes sense. We haven't been told yet, is it going to be ADM? Like, you get so much per dollar per kid. We don't know that yet. But we do know the funds are going to be going towards evidence-based prevention. We do a lot of that already, especially the teachers in the room, they know that. Programming, curriculum, mentoring, the awareness campaigns like Red Ribbon Week, for example, up to high school, okay? So we're looking forward to getting some further direction on what we can do with those monies and when we're going to get them. Another thing we're going to partner up with is with our friends from CNA. We're going to participate in the Stark County Mental Health Awareness Week. And part of this is just having the conversation about mental health. Years ago, I'm not sure as a superintendent, I've ever talked about this, to be honest with you. But luckily, a lot of those barriers have come down. And I can speak to Marlington. We talk about this, and we're going to continue to talk and offer help to our kids that need it. So we're going to participate in that week. They haven't determined when it's going to be yet, but when it comes, we're going to jump in. I know this is kind of hard to see, but this is the survey that I put out. And if you haven't taken it yet, you got about 2 days. So do that for me. But if you are a parent, you got sidebarred to this question. What do you want to know more about in the area of mental health and wellness as a parent for your child? I know you can't see some of these, but some of the big ones were internet safety, social media. I'm shaking my head too, teenager right here, right? Okay. Helping your student manage stress. Some really good information there. And the reason why we did that is because of this. This has been on my heart for a long time. What can we do to educate our parents and help them deal with these issues? We're going to start with what I call a mental health and wellness parent series. All right. Next Thursday is parent conference night. And we're going to start in this room with all of our counselors across the district coming in and sharing what we do for our kids now, what things we have in place. 1 hour, short and sweet. We're just going to kind of get the blood flowing. And then we're going to come back these days in March, okay? And basically, it's every Tuesday in March, all the way down in this room for 1 hour, 6 to 7. We're gonna have our people, but also other county people come in, and they're gonna talk about these top 4 areas that came out of that survey. Stress management, coping skills for your kiddos, school safety and internet, anxiety, depression, positive mindset, and communicating with your child, okay? I'll send more information out when I lock in the topic per day and who the speaker's gonna be as well. I'll tell you now, I'm gonna be talking about school safety. It's like I told my ladies, I'm not gonna ask them to do something I wouldn't do myself. So I'm part of this thing too, okay? So, I hope you'll come. I don't know what turnout's gonna be, but I'm hoping that we'll get some people here, and I'm really hoping we're gonna have some good dialogue in the room. I really do. I don't want people coming and thinking, I'm here because I have a problem. That's not what this is about. We all have hurts, hang-ups. We all got them. We got to start talking about them. And I'm going to get some people that know what they're doing in front of you to help. I'll go back to our strategic plan. And we just passed that a while back. And the big goal in there is awareness and communication. And this one down here is what I'm going to be referring to. Our first objective was to establish some regular community forums, other than like board meetings, where we get people together. And specifically, we're targeting folks that don't have kids in school, okay, which I think is important. So from that goal came this, my cup of joe. Now see, not everybody can say that, so you gotta have the right hand to do that, all right? But what we're gonna do, and I know you can't see those dates, so I'll try to get them up here in front of you a little bit better. These dates are coming in February, all right? So February 18th and the 25th, that's a Tuesday, at either 9 a.m. or 6 p.m. We're gonna have a meeting, 1 hour. I've got a couple things to share, maybe what's going on in the district. I'm interested in questions that a community might have about whatever, all right? So the first day on Tuesday the 18th, we're gonna be at Tannenhall at 9 a.m., okay? The 25th, we're going to be at Science Hill Church, right down the road. I want to thank both of those establishments for housing us. And then we're going to go to March. It's going to be March 23rd and 30th. 9 and 6 again, but we'll do it here at the middle school. Okay? So I hope you'll come. Never done this before as superintendent, to be honest with you. I'm kind of interested to see what happens. but it does support our goal of communication, and we are looking forward to trying to get that going. So appreciate your time.
Thank you. Continue with new business. We have board discussion, and the first item is Marvel discussion. Mrs. Bruger, did you want to speak to the projected savings?
Sure. So I was asked by the board to go over the projected savings for when Marlboro was closed. And you can see them up here, itemized by position. And the district was able to realize the savings through RIFs and retirements and resignations. The cost savings was calculated at $365,980 for personnel and benefits. Non-personnel related expenses were added to increase the total savings to $398,669, as you can see there. There's the breakdown. The other item I was asked to speak on was the wellness grant funding that we had received for this fiscal year and how it was reflected in the five-year forecast, along with the Marlboro savings, the building closure savings. And my thoughts on that are the sentence in the assumptions of the five-year forecast related to the wellness grant and savings due to the closure of Marlboro are confusing. If you look at the assumptions in the forecast, it reads FY 2020 includes reductions of $400,000 for staff as well as the reclassification of expenses to fund 467 student success and wellness. What this means is two separate things are taking place on this one line of personnel. The savings from the building closure of about $400,000 and the separate event of supplanting the wellness, of supplanting the expenditures to the wellness grant of around $432,000. The breakdown you can see here, or I'm sorry, I didn't mean to write, say 400. Or yeah, that's accurate, $432,000. You can see here, we received a total of $493,209. We've allocated $432,000, and we still have about $60,000 to find acceptable uses for those funds. But so that's the what those funds are.
So, excuse my interruption.
Sure.
Does the forecast then include both of these figures and the actual number in the forecast?
Yes, on that line item includes those two pieces.
Okay.
They're separate, they're not really, if you look at, see how that says SROs, counselors, they're different. If you look at the other, for Marlboro, music, intervention specialist, counselors, the grant funding wouldn't be able to be used for these types of positions. I think that's what we were trying to highlight. They're not really interchangeable. And I think there were some questions out there about that. So I kind of wanted to highlight that to just kind of clarify that.
And can we as the board members get copies of these as attachments? Are they in the Dropbox?
Did they make it into Dropbox?
Yeah, if not, I'll put them in there.
Okay, because I couldn't find anything on that.
I can drop them in for you.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay, I was earmarked to talk about enrollment. Board asked me to talk briefly about this. So this is what got the ball rolling a couple of years ago. Mrs. Tierce, our treasurer at that time, talked about our enrollment numbers and really got the board's attention, mine included. You can go back to 1999 compared to 2019 and see our decline there. This right-hand side was Mrs. Pierce's discussion about open enrollment in. And basically, without open enrollment, we'd be in a world of hurt. And, you know, as you can see there, we talked about what are resident district kids, those are the ones that live in Marlington, and how we're getting less and less of them, sadly, but we're able to make ends meet. That 361 is how many open enrollment kids are coming to Marlington this year. Okay, so you can see we're about 1,100 plus kids down in 20 years of Marlington resident kids. And that's what got the board talking about. Wow, what are we going to do? What's the plan? I was also asked, Ms. Humphries, can you turn a little bit to your left? Yeah, I had to go, thank you. That's all right. I was also asked to take a look at like how we doing now with elementary kiddos. So I pulled January 3rd of 20. So as of that day, we had 841 kiddos, K-5. You can see 153 of them are open enrollment coming in, which means we have 688 resident kids. And these are the numbers that are concerning. 118 on down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in a row of numbers that have scared us, to be very honest with you, as far as what's happening here in the district. I was also asked just to take a little screenshot of 10 years ago. So I gave you January of 2010 and 2020. You can see the numbers there. It's about 460 less kids in 10 years that we're dealing with. That does include open enrollment. That's all in. Okay, so, and I call that, I use the term butts in seats last meeting. Hope that doesn't offend anybody, what it meant to. But those are the numbers our secretaries give us from these guys in the room as teachers. I got 24 kids in my class, that's what they report. Okay, so that's how we get those numbers. You can't see any of that, and that's okay. But the question was, how do we end last year versus how do we start this year? Okay, how many kids did we lose when our folks knew that we weren't going to use Marlboro? Okay, what I did is I took last year's kindergartner and just made them first graders and compared those numbers and went all the way across the board. At the end of the day, we had 7 less kids than last year. 7 less kids from June to September of this year. The even better news is we had more kindergartners enrolled this year than last. And we always thank the good Lord for that. Okay? We need them kindergartners. We need those youngs.
Joe, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So what is the reasoning we don't compare the total numbers of kindergarten through fifth from last year to the total number of kindergarten through fifth this year?
We can, but the kindergartners moved to first grade. So when I'm looking at how many kids do we lose because of that transition, the kindergartners last year become first graders this year. And that's how I did that number.
Okay, but I'm just saying for looking at the enrollment numbers of the grade schools currently versus last year, wouldn't you subtract the total current number from the number of last year?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could give you numbers.
And what's that number?
Last year. Well, we have 841 this year. And if you look in your Dropbox folder, I have attendance in there. We can pull that out too.
Is it 31 different then?
I'd have to look. Yeah, I'd have to look. Okay. But I mean, you guys all know it's been a steady decline, kind of like year after year after year. So. All right. The final thing I wanted to talk about was Marlboro itself. And Ms. Manningay, one more speaker, has already stole my thunder. But that's okay. I just want to talk about it one more time myself. I'm passionate about this. I really am. I think it's our bread and butter here at Marlington. This is what we do great, among a lot of other things. And this fires right away at our strategic plan about getting more kids and parents aware of what we're doing and getting kids in there. And Mr. Miller does a great job across the street getting them juniors and seniors in our career tech programs. He really does. I mentioned the Strengthen and Start report. It says we're getting smaller as far as numbers, older and poor in Stark County. And what are we going to do about it? It's what the report says. Call to action. Everybody's got a role. And I don't think it's just the business world. I think it's the school world, too. I really do. And I think it fits in great. And one of their recommendations is, hey, we got to focus on job creation, job preparation, and getting jobs themselves. Making them accessible. So I showed you this. This is my my thoughts for Marlboro. And for those of you that have been in there, this is basically the cafeteria. going to turn that into an HVAC, about 5,000 square feet of lab. These rooms right here, as were also mentioned, adult education type scenarios. I would love to do more of that. I've dabbled into it. I want to do a lot more. I think we've got people in this community that jump all over this. And then obviously these other areas are just renovated and ready to go. You know, whatever we would decide the needs are, jobs, kids, interests, those types of things moving forward. So I just wanted to share that one more time. I think it was November or December, the last time I did talk about that. But to me, why bother? Here's why you bother. She gave you numbers. This is from a gal named Jennifer Meek Ellis, who works for Ohio Means Jobs. Right now, 140 HVAC-related jobs in Stark County. Put three counties together, you got 286 in that time period. To me, this is a workforce that's ready. And when I talk to these guys that do this for a living, they say, we can't get people to come work. Now, I find it a little hard to believe, but I'm not in the trenches like they are, and that's what they're saying. So to me, that's a good opportunity. We can make some connections, get some business partners in here. This kind of stuff excites me. This is why I'm here. All right, this is all good stuff. So we talked a little bit about salary already. This gal gave me a number here in 2018. The average wage for HVAC and plumbing kind of put together, $57,000. It's not a bad number. It's not a bad number. So that's kind of what's out there. I mean, we're all talking about Marlboro. So I don't know if there's any other questions or things to chat about that.
We'll open up Marlboro to the board discussion. Does anyone have any comments or questions?
I'd like to discuss. On January 23rd, I had the opportunity to tour Marlboro Elementary School with fellow board member Josh Hagan, as well as Mr. Knoll. As we walked through the school, we saw minor issues that needed repaired, along with some bigger issues, as needing a roof and things like that. However, every building, whether new or old, repairs need done, and proper maintenance also needs done. Although I am one vote of five, I feel very strongly that we can and should reopen Marlboro. Some may say consolidation is better and we should keep the students where they are. I would like to remind those individuals with that concern that the prior board administration was going to move all the students. We are looking to move the children from Marlboro back to their elementary school. I feel that that is a bigger building, a younger building. We have more property growth, a standalone gym. I ask, is it preferable to have children attending an elementary school in a far less than ideal situation so we can protect them from being uprooted again? If we move the children, that causes an issue for roughly less than 300 students at one time, but in the end, we'll put in a better educational situation for those kids. If we choose to leave things alone, we sentence not only those students to less than desirable education, but every child who happens to be raised in Marlboro Township for the rest of the existence of Marlington. On September 25th of 2018, Board Education meeting, Dr. Mason was quoted saying that moving the kids from different buildings had little effect on the students. While some community members are asking us to have a survey of what we as a board should do about reopening Marlboro, I strongly feel the survey was already conducted at the polls when Josh and I were elected. Our platform was to give Marlington back to the voters by listening to the majority vote. The majority vote was cast for Josh and I, whose platform was against the consolidation. We are seeing schools around our district, such as West Branch, Waterloo, and Louisville, who have built new buildings and now are struggling to pass operating levies. I'm asking you as a voter that we do not want to alienate our votership. We want what's best for our district. We want us to look at being fiscally responsible, making the necessary repairs to all the buildings, and strive to provide the best education possible. Also, Mr. Knoll, I would like to ask if we as a district have a contract with the chapel for using the Marlboro building. And if so, what the fees are that are involved in that, and if we're breaking even with paying for electric, the janitor, and if our insurance policy covers those if a person's injured while they're in there.
I'll respond.
Okay.
I do what I always do for our churches. They pay no fee to rent a building. And since I've been here, I've been very, very consistent with that. It is a community building. I think our community members deserve to use it. What I do ask them to pay, though, is the amount that we lose for our custodians. So whatever our custodian bill is, depends who's working, how many hours, that type of thing. I do ask the churches to basically, as you said, to break even on that. They do a facilities request form. Our insurance is aware as well.
Is that, I mean, are we covered if something would, God forbid, happen?
Yes.
So one of those kids or students?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'd like to make a couple comments. I didn't really prepare anything. I'd like to hear everybody and react to what they said and, you know, take that into consideration. And I'd just like to say to everybody here, I think we're all on the same page that we want what's best for the kids. We want them to get quality education. We want to do what's best fiscally responsible for the district. We just have a huge difference of opinion. We need to work better at trying to reach out to each other and not with comments geared toward attacking somebody for something specific. I encourage people to reach out and ask someone why they think the way they do instead of just shutting them out and thinking that their reasoning is wrong just because you believe something else. With that said, I, along with a lot of community members, saw the closure of Mulberry Elementary. It seemed like a narrative to move us towards the consolidation that the voters had voted against again and again and again. And I think part of Danielle and my campaign running for school board was people felt they didn't have a voice. And part of the school district moving forward and being successful relies on the actual community. I mean, when we need new monies, although bonds have failed time after time, I think people are discounting it and saying that the people don't want to pay more money. And a lot of people said it was Mulberry Township. Mulberry Township, as a matter of fact, just passed a fire levy and it wasn't cheap. And it passed overwhelmingly with, I think, around 70% of the vote. So the money is out there. The people are willing to invest the money into what they believe is what the community wants. And my whole belief is we can provide a quality education to our children by aligning with our community and gaining their support and garnering their support and moving forward collaboratively. Instead of shutting them out and saying they don't matter, that is a surefire way to guarantee that they will vote down future levies and bonds. That's my perspective on that. I also don't see why having three elementary schools versus two or one means that we can't give our kids a quality education. In that case, I don't know why we didn't do that in the very beginning. When the schools came together, had they been, in your view, receiving a subpar education being in three separate buildings? Another comment was made that the collaboration, now that we have Lexington and Washington open, the teachers are all on the same level and the kids are, you know, all on the same level. And my point would be to that, if we can do that in two buildings, what keeps us from doing it in three? Honestly, I don't see how we can't collaborate between our buildings to have our kids on the same level. Oh, and I had one other comment about having meetings at Mulberry. The heat is on there, so we're not turning the heat on to have meetings there. So there's no additional cost of having meetings at all the school buildings.
That's wrong, Judge. There is additional cost to us having
not due to heat and electric.
No, but there is additional cost.
No, I'm saying
there's cost for our people moving stuff here. There's cost for janitors in those places. There's cost associated.
How much would you estimate that?
It's not my role to estimate that. We can ask the treasurer to estimate that, but that is a piece. That is a cost. There's also the cost of time. I mean, you're asking the board to meet twice as often, to truck ride. You could say, oh, well, there's a time commitment. And when I'm at board meetings, I'm giving up something. There's a cost.
I'm willing to give my time to get.
Well, that's fine, but if we're getting something done, I'm willing to give a lot of time. I give time to the school in different ways when I'm here. But if we're going to waste time, and we're going to do things inefficiently, and we're going to have five-hour meetings just to be going from building to building, it doesn't make any sense. There is a cost associated with it. And that's part of transparency, is talking about what is the cost ahead of time. I hear so much about transparency and how things haven't been transparent. What's the cost of this? Dollars and cents, the cost that it's going to cost to open this building.
That's a good question, because at the last meeting I posed the question what our current cost savings were with the consolidation. We were shown a projection once again. That was a projected number, not the actual number.
So having closing a building doesn't save any money. So why don't we open more buildings?
I didn't say that.
Well, you're suggesting that. There's a cost associated with it. And we have to realize there's a cost associated with all of this.
Absolutely.
Transparency is more than just having more meetings and having them longer. That does not make for transparency. Transparency is, why are we doing this? What is, people are interested, we're hearing that. What is going on? They want to know what's going to happen. And what is the long-term plan? Not the plan just for Marlboro, because that's all I hear again tonight. What is the plan for Washington, for Lexington? I mean, the plan sounds like it's going to be, let's fix Marlboro, put the kids into it, then we can close one of the other two schools. Nobody said that. No, nobody said that. But when we run out of money, that's what's going to happen. It makes no sense to invest millions of dollars to fix up a school we don't need. That's beside the fact. I want to see the numbers that say this, and I want to see the numbers that are going to suggest student learning is going to improve or decrease or whatever. I don't care which way. I want to know what that is. And I'm greatly offended a school board member is saying children's education is suffering. That's an insult to those people out there. Do the work. Number one, it's not a discussion here, and the school board chair has not done a good job of controlling board.
Well, I think she's having a hard time when you're yelling at each individual board member, but for starters, I'm not saying that the students are suffering because of the lack of great teaching staff or faculty or anything else that we have. I'm saying suffering.
Students, let's call a recess while the audience gets under control. Let's leave the room, please. We're going to call a recess.
Reconvene.
Well, I think we're coming here to wait for Dr. Mason to return.
Okay.
Unless you want to move forward with that.
I'm sorry?
I was asking if we reconvene, but she said we should. Can we,
I thought
Scott,
we should wait for Dr. Meese.
That's good.
If you're okay with that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know Ms. Brueger and I spent a lot of time today getting ready to answer that question about the finances. So now's probably a good time to interject. Ms. Brueger, I don't know if you want to go first or if you want me to. I think maybe what I'd like to do is just talk about my perspective as superintendent, putting everything back into Marlboro. We already saw close to $400,000, and I think 360 some of it was people. So at minimum, it's going to be those people to at least fill those positions going back in. And I will tell you this, depending on what kids end up back at Marlboro, based on how that decision is made, and you know, yours truly here, it's going to affect the staffing. And I'll give you one easy example. Our kids with special abilities are going to need more attention over at Marlboro than we probably have before. I don't know that yet, but I would say probably just standing in front of you tonight, I would figure at least two more intervention specialist teachers that we're going to need in order to run our model that we run. You know, we don't put all the special ability kids in a room and just keep them in there all day. That's not our model here at Arlington. Let me say thank God for that. That would never happen with this superintendent here, okay, with a child with special abilities. We get those kiddos included. We do a lot of co-teaching. We've got a lot of collaboration. That model will continue at Marlboro. Okay, I'm telling you that because that's just what we do, and we do it pretty darn well here. So I would say, Ms. Brueger can correct me if I'm wrong here, a couple teachers, all in benefits, et cetera, is probably about 100,000. So your 365 personnel that you showed us earlier, something right. Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, 365 yes. Plus another. So you're at $465,000 of bodies, people, to get that place up and run, just to kind of get the ball rolling. So I hope that helps answer your question there. The other things that Ms. Brueger put on there, day-to-day operation kind of stuff, obviously that goes back in there as well. But I worry about people. I mean, that's really where it matters. So we're looking at $465,000 just to get the place up and running. The other piece of it that somebody mentioned, Dr. I don't know if it was Dr. Mason or not, but we got to get people back in there, okay? I will tell you this, the question was asked, how much did it cost to move Marlboro out to Washington and Lexington? You know what it cost? The taxpayers? Zero. Zero. I asked our people, can you help me? That's what I did. I asked every teacher, I said, can you pack your stuff up? I gave them a skid and said, no more. And they all yelled at me. You guys know you did. All right, but they did it on their own. So zero. Guess how much it cost for all the boxes to move everybody? Zero. Because we stole them from the cafeteria when they got done using them. All right. How much did it cost to move everybody? No moving van incorporated. It cost the district nothing. Because my administrators gave up 5 days of their time and moved. We borrowed trucks and vans from people in the community, and we did all that at no cost to the district. Now, going back, we're going to have to add in all of those components as well.
There would be no way to do the same thing to move back.
Joe, any volunteers? I'm not just saying teachers.
With all due respect, I understand. Frustration, because they were frustrated when I asked them to do it initially, but as good troops, they did that. But like I said, I wouldn't have them do anything I wouldn't do. I moved too. You know, I wasn't going to say, hey, you all do all this stuff and good luck to you. But they have to pack their own things. I mean, those things need to get packed, and the teacher or somebody professionally is going to have to do that for us. And I'm telling you now, I'm planning on that being a cost.
Okay.
So I think as you're weighing all this, you need to start with 465 staff. You need to add on moving, boxes, all those types of things I think you need to add on to it. I don't have a dollar amount for that, to be honest with you. I wasn't quite prepared for that. But that's something that we could talk about.
A couple questions I have on the finances is, do you have a figure on the increase in the busing cost as far as what that factor is? Because you showed us the savings, but what would be the increase in busing to accomplish
to go to
Marlboro? Busing? No.
Oh, right now?
Right now. The increase in busing that has occurred now.
Zero.
There's no increase at all?
$0. Ms. Sipple has informed me numerous times. I don't know if she's still here in the audience or not. We have zero extra buses on the road. We have zero bus drivers on the road.
Okay. And then the other question was, in the five-year forecast, both times in May and then again in November, we were told that the savings, $400,000, whatever it is, that has fluctuated from time to time, was a one-year savings. It's not factored beyond that. We had a one-year savings, and then after that, there was no savings at all.
In the five-year forecast?
In the five-year forecast.
Ms. Bruger, can you speak to that?
That savings should be carried forward if it's salary-related, because it would, those expenditures would have happened every single year. So the savings should carry forward.
I mean, it should, but we've been told several times that it's only been projected, it's a one-year savings, and that's it. And I think that's what's difficult to comprehend, is why we would have one-year savings. It doesn't seem significant. The message that's being sent to the community, it's not a significant savings.
No, I don't know if this person spoke to that on her five-year or not, but to me, it's $400,000 a year plus increase in salary.
Right.
So that really right now, let's say teachers and staff members are $365,000, but the next year with a much deserved raise, that dollar amount would go up. So if that wasn't in the 5 year, I know Ms. Bruger is
crazy. I know she didn't do it. When Mrs. Hurst did it, and when Mr. Jones did it, both of them said it was a 1 year savings and they didn't project it beyond that. So
Ms. Bruger, am I missing something there? I mean, what is there a reason why we would not articulate that through a 5 year?
Like I said, salaries are pretty straightforward. Once you eliminate a position, that payout ceases. So you pay a person $20,000, you do it each year, you stop paying them $20,000, that payment each year stops. So, I mean, that's how it works. I wouldn't, as far as how somebody compiles a forecast, I can't really speak for that, but.
I just wanted to say a few words as well in regard to the topic of Marlboro. It's important for us to acknowledge that regardless of what decisions made, there will always be some people who may disagree. And with that in mind, we will make every effort to be open and transparent so everyone knows the reasons for whatever decisions we are making. It's time to move our district forward and support the majority of our Marlington community who have chosen to keep their local elementaries and have asked us to repair and restore them. I agree with the Ohio School Board Association's vision, which is keep students as our focus, adopt a shared vision based on our community beliefs to guide local education, and demonstrate a strong commitment to the shared vision by using them to guide local decisions. Does anyone else have any comments in regard to the Marlboro discussion?
I do. I just want to finish before everyone decided to clap and took my words out of context. What I'm saying is, I didn't run for school board because I wanted to just have my own vision or anything like that. I ran for school board with Josh because we're both from Marlboro. We're both from Arlington. We're proud that we came from Arlington and are great teachers and staff and faculty. I'm no way saying that that is a subpar decision, that our kids are in the buildings that they're in or the teachers that we have. We have wonderful teachers, wonderful children of Marlington, wonderful staff. I'm grateful to still live in Marlboro and to hopefully send any future children I have to the schools that we have here with the great teachers. All I am saying is that sending our kids all the way across town to a different school, crowding our teachers and crowding our students, that was all I was saying. It was not a direct influence on anything else. I know that once we leave this meeting, it'll be misconstrued to 5,000 different ways, but we ran for school board because we want to make a difference and we want to do what's best for our kids and be fiscally responsible and also give back to the voters as well. Thank you.
Mrs. Humphries, would you like to make any comments?
I would.
you know, I look up words all the time because I'm a writer. And one time I looked up the word truth, and at the core of the word truth is balance. And I appreciate you speaking to balance, Josh, and that whole thought about it. You know, something that you just said, Carolyn, about some people may disagree. That's right, we're going to disagree because people have opinions. I likened it, I think it was a year ago, I don't know if it was the first year I was on the board or last year, I think it was the first year maybe, to the situation with the Electoral College. You know, we have majorities that vote, and if we had the president that was voted for by the majority, we would have a different president right now. But the Electoral College was put in place to strike a balance. That's what the board does. It strikes a balance. There is, you know, something that we can't just say we're going to listen to the majority, whoever's the louder voice at the time. We have to take everything into balance. So while we're looking at the financial factors related to opening Marlboro, we also have to listen to the voice of the staff because they are literally in the schools and these decisions affect them. That's why they're so passionate about it. This is their life. It's their career. Many of them have been here for a long time. Many of them are lifelong Marlboro residents. Many of them have students in the schools. So they're voters, they're teachers, they're parents. They're all those things combined. I think they should have a weighted voice, kind of like the states in the middle of the United States who don't have a big population, but they're just as important, and there needs to be a balance to what the bigger group says. You know, we have voters who are largely our community are elderly, and they don't have kids in the school anymore, and they care, I believe they care about the community for sure, but they're not affected daily, day in and day out, like the teachers, like the parents, like the students are that come into these schools. So that's why they should be given a weighted voice. That's the way I look at it. So when you look at the financial factor, that points to saving money and keeping things the way they are. When you look at the students, the educational factor, and what the experts who do it are saying, it points to staying the way we are. When you listen to the parents and how the kids have adjusted and their desires, things need to stay the way they are. Every factor that you take into consideration points to things staying as they are. There's only one portion of the community that says we want an elementary school open. And so you want to look at that one portion and say, we're going to do this just based on that one factor. That's not a good judgment process. You have to look at all the factors. I'm sure, Danielle, you're a loan processor, and when someone comes in, if you're looking at the loan originator and you are looking and saying, oh, this person makes $200,000 a year, we're going to give him a loan. Now, I'm sure you don't do that. You look at everything else. Where does he get his money? What's his debt-to-income ratio? What is his credit score? You know, multitude of factors. You have to look at all those things. You don't just look at one factor. So that balance is, I agree completely with balance, and I agree completely with transparency. And I think that the people that have been involved here, you know, the former board majority, and, you know, and now Scott and I still, we've seen this. I was a reporter for the Hartville News, started in November 2005. I've witnessed this for 14 years. I've missed like maybe three board meetings in 14 years. I've seen this, what's happening and what's gone on. And there's been a lot of upset. I want to, let me see, Mr. Buchanan, I think it is. This has gone on for a really long time. It's not a new circumstance. And I would like it to stop. I agree with you. But the balance that we need is we're at a critical point right now. And the other school districts around us, we can say, well, they built new buildings and that's why, and et cetera, et cetera. The fact is, we have declining enrollment all over. We have problems with public school education financing. We have a whole lot of things that need fixed. And we just have to make the best decision with all the factors for us, not just listening to one segment. So I'm all for that. And because of that, that's why my watching this whole procedure for this entire time for all these years, I can see, I've seen the progression, and we are here for a reason, and it's, we've done the right things. We've made the right decisions based on the educational needs, the financial needs, again, putting all the factors together. So I am definitely not for reopening Marlboro for an elementary school for all those factors.
Did you?
Actually, Cal, can I have just a minute? I want to publicly apologize for losing my temper. Mrs. Stevens, I'm sorry to that. I apologize. And everyone else here, that was very unprofessional of me. I'm ashamed by my actions. I should not do that at this kind of meeting.
Thank you.
We're all very passionate on where we stand, so it's understandable.
Well, the chair feels there's been sufficient discussion on this topic. There has been a resolution prepared for this evening that we will read, and we'll vote on the topic. And you can vote your conscience on this. The resolution presented tonight is, whereas the majority of district voters have consistently rejected the proposal to consolidate Marlington's elementary schools in three consecutive elections, and whereas it is more practical to educate children in their own communities closer to their home, and whereas Marlboro Elementary School is the elementary school that is in the best condition and requiring the least amount of maintenance and repairs, and whereas the personnel required to serve the school are still employed within the district as a result of staff reassignments, and whereas the district financial data is inconsistent regarding whether any cost savings has been realized by the closure of Marlboro Elementary, therefore, be it resolved that the board will honor the will of the voting majority by terminating the pursuit for consolidation of schools and or new school construction and return Marlboro Elementary to active status, committing to all the necessary actions so that it may be open and ready to receive students K through 5 for the start of the 2020-2021 school year, and be it further resolved that the board shall appoint or hire a designee that will commit to developing and executing an efficient and expedient plan to reopen Marlboro Elementary School for the 2021 school year with the necessary oversight from and the discretion of the board. Is there a motion to accept this?
I motion to accept it.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Is there any further discussion on the resolution?
Yeah, I'd like to discuss some data. I told the board that I would be putting out a parent survey, or the PTO would be actually putting out a little parent questionnaire, and that I would be putting something out for our staff. I guess I'm just a little disappointed. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about wanting to collect information from these people. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe we'd have a community meeting, parent meeting, kind of like what we did last year, you know, when we were talking about how to consolidate. I'm the voice of 2,100 kids, 300 staff members, and parents. And I feel I need to share what they shared, since you're not willing to hear it, I guess, after tonight. So here's what the parents said. And I want to thank Ms. Carrie Lane, who I hope is still in the house here, from the PTO. I'm not big on emojis, but here's what I think I know. The left-hand side is, I really don't like what's going on. The right-hand side is, things are going pretty good. And as you can see up there, as far as what our parents know, first of all, getting 283 of these in is unbelievable.
How many were sent home?
We sent one home to every kid.
So the total sent home would be about how many?
We have 841
so
kids.
So all the grade school children sent home?
Correct. Okay. K-5, yeah.
How many repeats we have there? Do you have any
ideas? I don't, but yeah, we have a parent that might have three kids in there, for example. But my community survey, going out to 10,000 some people, I got like about 100 of us. But the point is this, those are awesome as far as what the parents believe. You need to read the comments. You really should read the comments because they're powerful. I have them beside me. I'm not really well prepared. I didn't get a time to look at them all. But I know Ms. Herscher did. Some of the parent comments, just to target a few here. My family has adjusted extremely well. We appreciate all the efforts of our staff. Staff's been warm and welcoming, above and beyond to make my child feel good. Lexington community's been so welcoming and inclusive. Staff at Washington's done an excellent job. Washington's an amazing school, absolutely wonderful people there. My kids are doing great. My son's made some really great friends that he never had before, better than expected. And I just think you owe it to our community to read this.
And really how many of the parents that you think would do the one emoji, mm-hmm. how many people do you think wouldn't voice their opinion and send this in with the fear that there would be repercussions to their kids?
Oh my God.
I'm serious.
I don't have a crystal ball.
I know as a parent myself, in something that may not seem popular in the school district, I would fear to send something in voicing my opinion. And well, the reason I'm saying that is because I believe there's probably a lot of people that would be.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Well,
there you go. Well, okay. What we look okay. at
yeah,
is...
Yeah, folks, hold on.
Okay. It's anonymous, but it goes to the school with your child.
We ask the kids to bring it back. Yeah, now, to answer your question, I have never had a parent be afraid to tell me that they ain't liking something.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I get emails, and I get phone calls, and I think growing up in this district, we have a little different relationship, which I appreciate. So I don't know that answer, but I think people, well, I don't think, I know from the comments that our parents appreciated that they felt like people wanted their input. Okay, so they took their shot. Trust me, they did. And you know, some of the negatives were a lot of anxiety and tears to start. Should have kept a grade level plan. I don't understand why you're even doing this. No one listens to me anyway. It was a difficult transition for me. So there were some straight shots in there. And I guess my hope would be, I don't want this to go to waste. I mean, you guys haven't even seen it yet. You haven't got any input at all from our parents.
I think it's important to recognize how many people did come to the polls to support what was a very vocal election. It was very clear what the two sides represented, and additionally, with a projected 30% of the Nexus cut, we do not have the money to build new schools. So this is a reasonable direction to go, and we acknowledge, you know, all the kind remarks that they make, and there's no reason that these good relationships can't continue in all three schools, and that's what we would anticipate.
I'd also like to clarify, there's a lot of people that are making this out to be that it's only about Marlboro for us, and that couldn't be further from the truth. It's not about Marlboro School for us, it's about all of the township schools. And some people believe that it was only because of Marlboro that some of the previous bonds have failed. Do some research and you'll see that a lot of the bonds failed in multiple, if not all, of the townships. And as far as our election results go, we won without an issue in Lexington and Washington townships. Without the count of Marlboro, we still would have won the election. So it wasn't just Marlboro. And it was all the townships, the majority of the voters are seeing it this way. They want to keep their individual elementary schools.
No?
No? Okay.
I'll just wrap it up with the staff piece. I put this out to our staff, just another quick little questionnaire with emojis again. And I need my elementary staff members to be heard, so that's why I'm here. 61 are in, which was a good number. I know you can't see that pie chart, but the question at the bottom was, as an elementary staff member, are you satisfied with the recent consolidation That's 96.7% of our teachers. And here's another one where teachers aren't afraid to tell me what they think either. Trust me, they tell me. And as you can see up on the right there, you know, you have fours and fives in the number there as well with our staff. So I guess my only thing is, I would hope that you would invite our parents in, have a meeting like we did last year. I don't know if you guys all came to that. It was actually in here, just to actually hear and get their input. I mean, these are good. This is really good data, but I think it's also important to get people in here where you can talk face-to-face and have some conversation. Before you make a final decision, I would hope we would at least give our parents that opportunity to come in and be heard, I guess is my request.
May I speak on the finances just for a moment, just on some things I'm seeing so I can clear my conscience a little bit as the new person coming in? And I mean, I don't want to jump in on the middle of this, what you guys have going on thing. But as your treasurer, I feel like I have a duty to report to you what I'm seeing. You know, I don't have a lot of background as far as emotional attachment to this just yet. So I just want to be very black and white with you on what I'm seeing financially. So I'm doing my due diligence as my job for you and all that. So that's okay. My main concern that I see as a financial professional with all of this is, as we talked about earlier, it's the building closure has saved the district around $400,000. So looking at your forecast as stated, I haven't had the chance to compile my own forecast yet. That will be coming out in May. Stay tuned. It'll be amazing. If we add back the $400,000 a year, since it's salaries, it's safe to assume that that would have been a recurring expense. Over 4 years, that comes out to about $1.6 million. So by 2024, you can assume that we will have expended $1.6 million to reopen Marlboro, and probably more, because to staff it, I mean, we were able to what's the word I'm searching for? There were retirements and things where we could kind of, I think the original projection was 600,000, wasn't it?
700.
It was 512 was the original projection.
So there were, I mean, it will probably be more, but nonetheless, when you add those types of things into the ending balance of your five-year forecast, when you look at, we'll just pull the ending balance of 2024 at 2.7 million negative. Now I know that's 5 years out, and that's like throwing a dart at a wall. It's not, you know, 5 years out, that's a guess. A big time guess. But just for the purpose of, you know, a visual aid, that's $4.3 million to the negative. You're quickly escalating your negative balance.
And what would be our ongoing expenses with the HVAC school?
I'm sorry?
The HVAC program, what would the ongoing expenses be with that?
Once the building is renovated, the ongoing expenses might just be equipment, dealing with things like that for the program itself. As I mentioned, my goal is to actually renovate that building, renovating it for HVAC, not costing us a dollar. That's my goal.
But the instruction to the kids would be no cost?
We got to pay for a teacher, yeah. We pay for a teacher for that. We do get career tech funding, which is nice as well, to help compensate for that. Which is a big plus too.
And students coming in from other places.
Could be a nice draw for some other students, that's true. Right. I know we've talked about what can we offer to get some kiddos here. Yeah, these are high school folks. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
My expectation is to be able to rely on the five-year forecast, and two previous treasurers have told us it was a one-year savings, and they were very clear about that. So if that is not accurate, then I'm concerned about the information that we have submitted to the state.
Well, so then that should be, you shouldn't jump forward with something if you don't know that. For sure, we can get a confirmation of that, because that, I mean, that to me is common sense. You're not paying that out, so... I mean, I think we should wait. We can wait to find out. You have always been someone who wanted to know every single detail and asked 20 questions about financial outlays. And you want to put this into place without knowing anything is astounding.
I'm relying on two previous treasurers who have told us that the salary savings was $200,000.
That's not the only factor. That's not the only factor. You have the students, the parent. Again, we're talking about everything. The students. Without the students, you don't have a school. If you're saying to these people, your voice doesn't matter, we don't care what you think, you're telling your customers. No, that is what you're saying. You demonstrate that with your actions. It's not just your voice. Well, it's not just what you say. It's what you do. So if what you're doing is showing them that you don't care, you're not going to have a school district.
Yeah, I don't know where that $200,000 number came from. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Leslie had said something to me about maybe it was the difference between the original projection and the current number ended. She said maybe that. I'm sorry, I didn't
read
that.
But Tammy put in her 5 year $400,000 savings for Marlboro. She's the one that calculated that. So if you don't think that's articulated all the way through, we probably need to confirm that, because if it's not, those numbers aren't going to look very good. I thought it was in there, but I don't remember her speaking to it specifically. I just remember the 400. Because she sat down with me and we went over it.
Yeah, it included, I believe, both the reclassification to the student loans.
It did not. That is inaccurate. And the treasurer spoke to that, and we need to be clear. Those are two different silos. Yes. The $400,000 of Marlboro savings is in its own silo, and the wellness money is in its own silo as well. Mm-hmm. So the wording was difficult in her notes. It was. We battled over that as well. But just to be clear, and if I'm wrong, you correct me, but just to be clear, Marlboro had $400,000 in savings and $365,000 was in line 3.01 under staff. And then that's one silo, then the other silo was the student wellness dollars. So those weren't intertwined, if that makes sense.
Well, and my other reservation on all of this is the Nexus funding in itself. We lost potentially 38%.
30%. That was a typo, I believe, on that report. It said 30%, and they wrote 38 in parentheses, the number.
Well, we got more bad news. We got another email saying they filed another one.
When was that?
2 days ago.
And so that's just making me increase.
So you got the treasurer a little nervous over here. Is what's happening.
And can we have any information on that?
As soon as I get information on it, I'll be more than happy to pass it on.
We don't have any.
So the email didn't contain any specific information?
No.
It's just like a little warning message.
Yeah. And Will?
We were told today that they filed an appeal on their amendment.
Yeah.
And instead of 30, they want 52.8% back. So,
you're really making my treasurer nervous now.
Well, and that's the amount they'll get to take back, and the courts decide.
Yeah.
And the courts will decide on their own good time. So we will get money, but we will get the 40-some percent.
Right.
But they're looking at almost 53% back.
And this whole thing's complicated. You guys know there's a process in place, and the only person that can battle it is the county auditor, as I've told you. So
currently we have all the Nexus money in the forecast appropriated to future facilities and repairs, correct?
We have a fund. We have a capital fund where right now it's empty. We have a capital project fund right now set aside. The board, a couple years ago, I think we did this initially, where it's a holding place for when the treasurer gets that nice big check, we're hoping that money will go into that, to that fund. And then from there, really it's at the discretion of the board. We designed it that it could go for a new elementary, it could go for, I mean, it's very open-ended on purpose to where we weren't locked in, where we could only spend it on this. So we have options.
So yeah, we have options as far as if we needed to offset some of the money that we come up short as a district moving forward, we could move money from that fund to cover any additional.
That's my understanding.
That reminded me, I wanted to mention, you know, we put in the new air conditioning units and the in the high school and the windows and doors, and the roof needs done. We know that needs done. That's another couple million that we have coming up. So we should finish that up to protect our investment that we just put in, the couple million investment that we already put in. So there are some other, you know, big things. I mean, we've been talking a lot about, you know, elementary schools. It's not the only thing. That's the issue too. That's not the only thing to look at. And I just think, again, yeah, talking about transparency and really looking at the factors and weighing things, this is premature, and we should make sure that we have everything we need. This doesn't have to happen the second meeting of the new board majority. I think that's premature. I think it's disrespectful, I have to say, to the people in the room and giving their voice. So the weight that it needs.
Thank you, Mrs. Humphries. Mrs. Brugger, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 3-2.
Moving to board discussion, district repairs and renovations. Is there discussion on the board on district repairs and renovations?
Yeah, what's the plan?
Right.
We don't need to open up another building. That increases by 50% the need for improvements.
Thank you for screwing our school. Yes, thanks so much.
What is the plan about for Lexington and Washington as well? We need that laid out. What is the plan to move forward with that?
Part of the plan is going to be covered in executive session, so we're not actually at liberty to discuss that until we get in there. Mr. Noel wanted to prefer to discuss it in executive session, but I'm going to say that, you know, all the needs of all the buildings are going to be addressed, and a good example of our past is we look at, for example, the middle school, and we were told that that school needed demolished, and the community would not support new money for the school, and the board decided to go ahead and do the repairs. We put a couple million dollars in it, and now we're being told that that school has a 25 to 30 year life.
It's the newest building in the district too, like at least 20 years younger, right. So that makes a difference in what's going to be put in.
You know, we'll hire people in that are experts in this. They will tell us, you know, what systems need repaired and replaced, and we can do the repairs much more inexpensively than building a brand new building. Does anyone else want to comment on repairs or renovations?
I just have one thought I have as we look at this. It's not like the high school where we can put windows in by doing it in the evenings and kind of, I mean, the repairs we're talking to the elementary schools are major.
Correct.
So the plan has to be what are we doing with the kids while that's going on? I mean, you can't teach a class full of first graders while construction is happening in the next room over. You can't do it room by room. You can't do it even hall by hall is difficult. So it's a long-term thought about how to do this.
Correct.
We are at an advantage in the fact we have an empty building right now. I mean, there's a piece of that that could be useful to renovations. But we won't have an empty building in the fall, so that piece is out. So we'll be going to, I mean, thinking about these renovations, bringing trailers in, or reconsolidating the kids multiple times. Again, I mean, that's, the kids will manage, the teachers will manage, but I mean, that you have to think about those issues as we're moving forward. As we've rushed in kind of to this position without a long-term plan for the elementary schools. I mean, we've said we're going to open up Marlboro, but we don't have a plan for what needs to be done at all. Marlboro's empty right now. So if you want Marlboro open, this is the ideal time to fix it.
Correct.
So we can fix it. Everything that needs fixed in Marlboro can be done in 6 months. We don't even have bids. We don't even have an idea what needs to be done.
That's why it's important for us to move forward. Correct.
That's why it's important for us to have a plan.
Plans. Yeah, you need a plan first.
Not to move forward. I mean, we need to have a plan of what we're going to do. Like, we can move forward, so we're going to push the kids to Marlboro, and then 2 years from now, we're going to bring the Nexus money, we're going to fix Marlboro. So we're going to take the kids back out of Marlboro and put them somewhere else.
Well, that wouldn't be our plan, but I mean, that is an option. That wouldn't be our preference to do it that way, and we'll have someone in place that will assist with the process.
So we're talking about hiring somebody. A new position.
That's just more money. Passed in the resolution.
I know it said in
more right? money.
Yeah. So that's an additional salary above the $480,000 that Mrs. Brenda told us about.
That we'll lose.
This is all part of transparency. Transparency yeah. is having all of the information out
Correct.
There.
Correct. And the idea would be that with the correct person in place, then the money could be saved. And some of this stuff is better discussed.
Do you have someone in mind?
Session.
Do you have someone in mind?
We can't discuss this in open session here.
Davis. I'm
just at a loss of what that position is. I read this.
Right.
Does anyone else have any further discussion on repairs, renovations? We'll move forward with a resolution for the repairs and renovations. Can you pass that down?
Another resolution.
The resolution before us for as the majority of the district voters has consistently rejected the proposal of consolidating schools and new school construction, as well as the exceedingly high costs associated with such projects in three consecutive elections, and whereas it is incumbent upon board members as elected officials to legitimately consider and carry out the directives of the voting majority who place them in their positions and from whom they derive their governing powers. And whereas the Nexus Pipeline has sought a revaluation that may result in a near 30% reduction in tax revenue for the district, beginning with diminished payments in March 2020, yielding significantly less than previously expected. And whereas other local school districts that pursued large-scale construction projects on anticipated tax revenue are now struggling financially. And whereas the budget forecast has predicted a possible deficit in the near future, necessitating a more conservative financial approach. Therefore, be it resolved that the board shall refrain from large-scale new construction projects that are not financially feasible at this time, and instead adopt a restore and repair approach to all district buildings, with the purpose of returning to and maintaining them in optimal working order. Be it further resolved that the board shall dedicate all Nexus tax revenue to this purpose, as to avoid an undue financial burden on the taxpayers. Be it further resolved that the board shall make completing all building maintenance issues a top priority, with commitments to their funding and timely completion as soon as possible upon notification. It continues on the back. Be it further resolved that the three district elementary schools will take precedence in the order of building repair projects, with Marlboro Elementary being the first. And be it further resolved that in consideration of the scale of this project, in addition to the time required to bring it to its successful completion, the board shall appoint or hire a designee to manage all aspects of it, taking the necessary actions with the oversight and discretion of the board. Is there a motion to accept this?
I'll make the motion to accept.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Is there any further discussion?
Is this a bylaw?
Is this a bylaw?
Yeah, because
it's a resolution.
Well, you call it a resolution, but it's a bylaw because it is directing how the board operates. The things that the board does. Well, it sounds like it directs what the board is doing, and that those are bylaws.
It's a resolution. It's patterned after the resolution to have closed Marlboro. Is there any further discussion?
I just have a quick thought on this, if I may. Based on just some pre-numbers playing that I've done, with the $400,000 a year, and that's just with $400,000, it probably will cost more. We'll have a projected deficit in fiscal year 2023. And if we are going to dedicate all Nexus money to building, we can't move the money from 07 fund to 070 to 001. If we're making it so we can't do that, to do anything with this deficit, I believe ODE, when you do a forecast, if you are negative on the third year, they will put you in fiscal caution, watch, one of those, and you will be forced to do a plan to remedy that. So just some thoughts.
Right. This is similar to the other resolution, and when we were told we made the resolution to move it to the projects fund, but we were told it's not in the resolution, but we were told don't worry about it. If we needed to reclassify some of that to operating, we would be able to do that. And part of the thought process here is if Mr. Knoll didn't have to be responsible for such a large project, he could focus on increasing our programming. He could help us increase enrollment. We could bring back any students we've lost, which is going to increase revenue. This is going to free him up to increase our test scores and focus on our education for our students. And that wouldn't burden him in the area of the facilities. And we're trying to look at all kinds of ways to increase enrollment, bring kids in, look at programming that we don't have now, whether it's, for example, do our own preschool staff and our own teachers bring in money and keep students here. I mean, it was even suggested that why aren't we advertising for kindergarten in January, like being private schools and other schools, so that students know where they're going and we can get them to commit to Marlington.
But you understand her point that by doing what you have in this resolution, you're putting a lot of financial burden on the district.
Right, and I think the resolution that's in place says the same thing, that it's designated to projects.
But it's not all Nexus money. That 071 project fund, these aren't the same thing. You're not comparing apples to apples. What you're saying here is all Nexus dollars are going to go to this.
And that's where we're moving in now. We're moving into the fund.
Right. But her point is, if there's a need to stop deficit spending and use those dollars that in that capital fund can be used for that, you're not allowing that to happen now.
Well, I've never seen a resolution that hasn't been changed in the future, so I'm guessing if you needed the money, you would come to the board and ask for some of those dollars to be reclassified. We'd revisit it at that point in time.
Okay.
So I don't,
Carolyn,
anticipate
you're ignoring
that
the advice
excuse
of the
me,
you're ignoring
me.
The advice of the
excuse me
the professionals
excuse me
that are here to give you that advice.
The question.
You've answered it repeatedly, but you're ignoring the advice of the professionals that are hired by the board to keep things running. That makes no sense.
I'm looking at it, if we represent the majority of the community and we need money and we ask them for money
Yeah, that's not what you do.
They're going to give us the money.
You're supposed to represent the students. This you love the OSBA. You go constantly to their training, but you're not following what they say. That you're supposed to be putting the code of ethics says that you are to remember your first and greatest concern must be the educational welfare of all students attending the public schools, not listening to the voters. That's not on there as your first and concern.
I think there's some people that would disagree with you, and I would be one of those, that I believe that smaller community schools will do a better job.
Well, we'll see if the parents agree. We'll see if the parents agree who actually have a student.
Please call the roll.
Wait, can we continue the discussion? I think we should revisit that, Carolyn, of dedicating all that money to that for that specific reason.
I mean, do you want to strike the word all on that? We can amend this to, is it the word all that's causing the problem here? I believe.
That means, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's.
I just don't want to put us in a situation where we have to either go back to the voters and then, to ask for.
And then be required to change it at that point. We better get it now.
Okay. Let's strike the word all. Be it further resolved that the board shall dedicate Nexus tax revenue to this purpose so as to avoid undue financial burden on the taxpayers.
So then that negates the be it further resolved below it, that making all maintenance issues a top priority.
I think we will make them a top priority.
You're not, by your motion right now, that change makes it not a top priority. Your top priority becomes to avoid undue financial burden on the taxpayers. Because you were saying, if we need some of that money, we're going to pull it away. So we never know how much money we're going to have to do that. I mean, I support the idea of putting all the Nexus money into where we're going to fix the schools with it. Then we see a result from it. And if that leaves us in financial problems, then we have to go to the taxpayers and ask for more money. Because we're opening up another building. We're not being financial. What up above? What are the school districts doing that are struggling financially? What is our neighbor doing, talking about? Closing buildings. We're opening buildings. So financial, we're not looking at finances, but if we're going to do this, I want it committed that it's all, so it does become our top priority. Then if we're in trouble because we have three buildings open and we have to fix them, then we have to go to the voters who want three buildings, and you said that multiple times here, they want the three buildings, then we'll fix the three buildings, put the kids in the three buildings, but then they have to come up with the money to make up the difference for having unnecessary buildings open.
Thank you.
It's the realization of that. So I'm not for taking that all out of there. That all is the one thing I support in this.
Danielle, did you have any comments you wanted to make?
I think I'll just remain quiet. I don't think I can go that anymore.
Okay. So the resolution before us is in the seventh paragraph, be it further resolved that the board should dedicate Nexus tax revenue to this purpose so as to avoid undue financial burden on the taxpayers. Please call the roll.
With the all or without the all?
We have the
We did, right? Just double check.
Right?
Yes,
I think
we got that.
We have a motion.
I'll have to look at that.
Now we have an amendment.
But now we have an amendment.
Danielle, did you had.
Yeah, I was the one that motioned.
That motion? Okay,
yes. Danielle. Josh
second.
Oh,
Josh.
We didn't vote on the initial resolution.
What we were discussing.
Right.
But then
all right, so.
So now it's an amendment.
Which
one
are we talking about?
Okay, so this is the amended motion. Do we have a first a motion on the amended motion to strike all in the paragraph with Nexus? Is there a motion to accept that?
I motion to accept that.
Is there a second? I second it.
I'll second it.
Please call the roll on the amended motion to strike the word all.
Mrs. Gabriel?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphrey?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 3-2.
The motion on the floor is the original resolution with the paragraph with nexus with the word all stricken from that sentence. Is there further discussion on the original motion with as amended? Is there further discussion on that?
This manager is a full-time position.
That is going to be discussed in executive session. Thank you.
So I'm voting on something I don't know what it is.
Right.
You're asking me to vote without the knowledge of what this position even is.
Entails.
I mean, is this person going to be, you know, an engineer? Are we talking about someone who might be the highest paid employee in the school district? I mean, if we're talking about a project engineer, we could be talking about that. I'm not comfortable voting on what I don't know.
Transparency.
Please call the rules.
Mrs. Gabriel?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 3-2.
The treasurer's agenda, the minutes, recommended a motion to approve the minutes of the following meetings. The organizational meeting January 13, 2020, regular meeting January 13, 2020.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion on the minutes?
Just a little note on the minutes. With the organizational meeting, the highlighted items are the motions that have passed.
Any other questions or discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
On the financial resolutions, recommend the motion for the following changes to the Marlington High School Phase 2 Windows and Doors project payable to Capital Aluminum and Glass Corporation as shown below. $500 adjustment to the base price and $700 change order.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion on this?
And this was the additional cost due to the phone lines, the window?
Correct.
Okay.
Katie,
okay,
is there anything else you need to add to this point?
I don't think so.
Okay. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
Recommend the motion to approve legal consultations with the following: Bricker and Eckler on the Nexus update and Lane, Alton, and Horst economic development.
These two are related to the resolution of the organizational meeting. The first one was scheduled prior to the resolution being passed to get me up to speed on the Nexus pipeline, and the second one was a phone call to get information for for information for the economic development that the project board is involved in right now. And we need to get board approval so that I can pay the bill so that we keep our audit clean.
So moved.
Second.
Is there further discussion on this?
Is there a question whether that's in violation of board bylaws? That resolution that was made last, is there a question to that?
Yes, we're going to speak to that in executive session.
And again, are we out of order?
Absolutely.
Try to approve this when we know it might be against the bylaws of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, I'm just asking the question because...
No, it's a valid question. Our point is the treasurer feels, based on what you guys, the board approved last meeting, we need to do that to respond to what was approved.
So I can pay the bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
As if we don't want to get our treasurer in trouble.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
Recommend motion to approve the amended appropriations as presented in marked Exhibit I attached to your agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
This item is to align with the contract that was passed in December. There wasn't an appropriation amendment to go along with it, so I'm just bringing that before the board.
Is there further discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
Any announcements, Mr. Miller, would you mind reading them?
Sure, I got the National Honor Society Rigatoni Dinner coming up here. The Winter Sports Dance this weekend as well. Parent-teacher conferences next Thursday. And then we get Friday and Monday off for a nice little long weekend. Next meeting, we're back here again, 7 p.m.
And to address the question, Mr. Hagan had...
regarding the touring of the building.
Yeah, in regard to touring the building, since we'll be back at the middle school, would it be convenient to schedule it prior to...
How about we start like at 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock?
I don't even know if we need an hour, but how about maybe 6:30? How about we say 6:30 for a building tour? I think we can walk around in half an hour.
6:30, so that would be called as a special meeting then?
No, I don't think it'd be a board meeting at all. It would just be a community building tour.
Community.
If you guys come, that's
so
great.
So we do a community building tour?
There won't be any business by the board happening at all. So
okay.
If you're here, great. If
okay.
Not, that's okay.
I have one more item. Okay. Did you guys receive the information on the audit, and did we decide we want to waive the audit check? Exit conference or audit committee? What do we want to do?
What's your recommendation?
My recommendation is it's up to you guys. If you want to sit me out with the auditors and chat about how great we did, that's great. If not, it's up to you. Or I have the pre-audit information right here. If you just want to breeze over it, I can kind of give you a little rundown on it. If you're cool with that.
I would like to have the rundown, that'd be great. Thank
okay.
You.
All right, you want to waive the conference? Go over this and then just we'll waive the exit conference? Is that what you want to do?
That's fine with me.
Everybody kind of in agreement with that?
All right. Are you going to put that on the agenda for the next meeting? Is that what you're thinking?
This is actually confidential
okay.
Right now, so I can't
not
really.
Off the record,
okay.
But I can go over it with you guys too, if you want to report. But, and all I just need is you guys to just help me with other ones.
Okay.
So if you guys are great.
Thank
you.
Thanks. Okay. We'll need a motion to enter into executive session in accordance with ORC 121.22 to consider the following: confidential information related to negotiations with other political subdivisions respecting requests for economic development assistance, and the executive session is necessary to protect the interests of the applicant or the possible investment or expenditure of public funds to be made in connection with economic development projects, to discuss the employment of a public employee, for discussion of matters required to be kept confidential by federal law, rules, or state statutes, and for preparing for and conducting or reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
We're going to come back to the library. It's right after this hallway. We'll go right out there. You know where you're going? Go to the library. I'm going to grab my
I could even have all of you.